I went to my college at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles, and my major was theology. I guess it's not a surprise, but I didn't expect it to be so long between that and graduate school, but my last semester, I had a theology class that was a graduate level course, and the book I found very difficult. The teacher was very uninspiring, and the result was that I just absolutely hated this class. And it wasn't the content, it was just the book was not interesting to me, and it was really agony. And I said, you know, if this is what's in seminary, maybe I don't belong in it, you know. And so I took this book when I was finished the class, and I buried it, which I don't recommend. But that just gives you an idea of just how awful I thought this was. And so 14 years later, I find myself back in the seminary. It was in my second year. First theology, and that's the first year of graduate school. And I'm in line getting my books, you know. And Father Richard, anybody remember Father Richard from the seminary? What was his last name? Well, anyway, Father Richard, God rest his soul, he'd had an interesting life, but he retired by passing out our methods of torture, you know, these books that we had to read. Some of them were really good. And I'm standing there waiting for this one-year theology class, looking forward to it, you know. And he hands me the book. And he smiles and winks at me and says, "You're going to love this one." And as I'm holding the book, I'm thinking, only the Lord would get me to voluntarily accept this book back. He waited 14 years to give me this book. And it's like he's saying, "Now do you love me?" You know. And I was thinking, I don't know. Very interesting. That evening, I was having dinner in the seminary dining room and was talking with some of the older seminarians, meaning that they'd been through this class in previous years. And I said, "I've got to do something. I can't take a year of this book. I just don't think I'm going to make it through the seminary if I have to read this all year." I said, "I'm going to pray that God will do something about it." And one gentleman said to me, I can hear her like it was yesterday. He said, "You can't. He's not going to drop this book from the curriculum. He did his doctoral dissertation on this book. And every class he's ever taught since he's been teaching this class has been on this book. You better pray that you have a bigger mind, because it's the only way it's going to work." I just said a desperate prayer, "Oh Lord, you've got to do something and save my vocation from this book, you know, one way or the other." So anyway, I came into class a couple days later, and here he's holding the book up, you know, and an excellent teacher he was. And you notice I'm not saying who this is or what the book is. Might be listening up at the Abbey, you know. But and he says to us, "Something very strange happened this week. I have to share with you. It's never happened to me before. I have been called to Rome, so I have to cut the class in half and make it twice as dense. I want to apologize to you for having to give you more with less time." He said, "So for the first time ever, I have to drop this book." Well, I almost fainted, you know. And he says, "But of course, it's so interesting, I know you'll all want to read it." And I'm thinking, yeah, right. So anyway, to make a long story short, that was the second time I buried that book, you know. And this monk doesn't know it, but he owes his whole career to my little prayer, you know. I don't know why he thought they called him to Rome, but it was, you know, because of my prayer. That may be true. You'd be surprised on the last day why things happened the way they did. I know he will be. But you know, it's an interesting story, because that was a case where my prayer literally moved a mountain, and I know it was the Lord. But how often I've prayed and the opposite has happened. Couldn't it have just as easily been that our Lord said, "You need to go through this for me. Do you really want to be a priest?" And I would have said yes. You know, God would have given me the grace to suffer. And that's the only way you can put it. As it turned out, he spoke about the book for about 4 days. And it was so interesting. I found myself almost regretting that I hadn't had him 14 years ago, because it would have made such a difference. Our Lord talks about faith in today's gospel. It's hard for us to share the faith. Today's Pro-Life Sunday. Some of our people will be out on Lancaster today, standing up for life. That's a way of sharing the faith without words, you know, but it's difficult. And we find the disciples in today's gospel, they say to the Lord, "Lord, increase our faith." They've been with him a couple of years already. What have they seen? They have seen Jesus raise people from the dead. They've seen him open the eyes of the blind. They've seen him multiply the loaves and fishes. They've seen him walking on water. They may have been, some of them were at the Transfiguration. And what do they say to Christ? "Lord, increase our faith." If you or I had had any one of those experiences, we wouldn't be asking that question. But the fact is, they were looking at Jesus, a human being, looked like any other normal Jewish person of that era. He did not glow in the dark. You know, some of these movies, Jesus is always wearing something a little whiter than everybody else. He stands out. But in reality, he didn't stand out. He was an ordinary man. And it took a big act of faith to look at him and see God. And when they saw him on the cross, they lost their faith. All of them ran away. John came back. Everybody lost their faith. Even the disciples had to have a test of faith. Everyone has to have a test of faith. Mary had a test of faith. When the archangel Gabriel announced the Messiah, immediately things started going wrong. She had her faith tested over and over again. You get the impression having our faith tested is kind of what life is all about. The way I look at life, I've always seen it this way, is that we live in a bubble, you know? The universe is a very big bubble. But the reality is, everyone who's ever lived, which is the majority of human beings, have passed through this world and have gone on to the next. They know and see everything. They see what God's plan was. They see what he had in mind for their lives. They see the reality that God exists, that Jesus was the Son of God. They don't have any faith. They don't need it. None of the angels have faith. They don't need it. Only we who are alive for these few years are required to search and to have our faith tested. And so I see that when God does something miraculous, like my little book or something much bigger in this world, he puts his hand into this world, if you will, you know, and we can see his hand almost everywhere if we start to pray and have our eyes open. But it's always a gloved hand, isn't it? He'll reach through sometimes, maybe all the time, and he's helping us. But you can always, there's always another way to look at it. That's because we have to be free to choose God or not to choose. If he fully revealed himself, the choice would be over. Our free will would be ended. And so God will always respect the boundaries that he himself has set up. And that's why we have a war going on, a spiritual war in our lives, is because precisely because the other side takes advantage of the fact that God will not fully reveal himself. And we will sometimes have spectacularly answered prayers. If you notice in your life, it happens to all of us. Other times we will pray for decades and not get the answer we want. And that's a test of faith. It's very difficult. One of the mistakes that we make is tying faith to feelings. The best act of faith is one where I don't feel anything. It's the time when I've committed myself to a prayer time. I've committed myself to an hour a week at the Adoration Chapel, and I'm not feeling anything anymore. That's God's maturing us. He wants us to love him without being bribed, if you will. But it takes faith to pray when I don't feel anything. Oftentimes, God will wait till the end of the prayer time and then give us the graces that we and the good feelings as we're about to leave. That's the way God works. Ask yourself if that's happened. That's the Holy Spirit. He wants us to say yes to him even when we don't feel like it. That takes faith. When we receive the Eucharist, we don't see Jesus in his body and blood. We see a piece of bread and a cup of wine. It takes faith. If you don't feel anything, you say, "My Lord and my God." You say, "Amen." It's an act of the will. It has nothing to do with feelings. We choose to believe. And that's the Holy Spirit. It is faith that gets us into heaven, faith in Jesus. And how we express it in our lives tells us whether we have faith. There are several ways for our faith to grow. When I was teaching the RCIA class this last Thursday, I was telling them, it's kind of basic for us Catholics, but we tend to forget. When we come into church, of course, we bless ourselves with holy water, and we make the sign of the cross. Now, you and I both do this very often, and this is the way we often do it, including me. Well, that's kind of a loose prayer. But if we do it with feeling, with purpose, it becomes a very deep act of faith. I believe that through the cross of Christ, I am saved. What a powerful prayer without words. What a powerful act of faith. When I receive the Eucharist on my hands or my tongue, and I say amen, that is a very powerful expression of faith. Yes, it is true. Amen. Or we come into church and we genuflect, Some people genuflect to not supposed to genuflect to the altar. We bow to the altar, but we genuflect to the tabernacle. That is an expression of faith. The way we do these things is a way of expressing faith. How reverently do I do that when I come in? I think the best way to grow in faith in praying this week is to have a spirit of thanksgiving. I've made up my mind I'm going to try to spend the rest of the year working on this, because what we find is, let's suppose that I ended up not having that book dropped. How would I express my faith to God? I would say, thank you, Lord, that I have this to read again. Actually, the way I would have said it is, thank you, Lord, that I have this. But you know, it's an act of faith. You and my lives are full of things that are pretty tough, aren't they? Yesterday I was supposed to be at the Rosary Bowl. We've been praying and practicing about this for months, and I had about a two-minute spot in there. And I was late, and there was something that happened here that detained me, and I couldn't get anyone on the phone to tell them. And so I didn't make it, and they spent 10 minutes calling my name is what I heard, which is great for humility. And I got home. I was really kind of upset, but I said, thank you, Lord, that this happened. I'm sure that it was in your plan. It was not easy to say that, but I looked out at the cold blowing air and I realized if I'd have got caught in that, you would have had another priest today, because I'd have gotten laryngitis for sure. I know myself well enough for that. I said, the Lord had a plan in mind. Sometimes we don't see his plan for decades, but by cultivating a spirit of thanksgiving, we become people of the Eucharist, because Eucharist is thanksgiving, and Eucharist means faith. Our Lord wants us to choose him freely, and he will give you tests of faith almost every day. And so we ask with the disciples today, Lord, increase our faith. And he says to us, if you have even the faith of a tiny mustard seed, you can do almost anything.